You do me a favor, just rub your neighbor on the back if you don't feel uncomfortable doing that. Just act like you're going to do it. Give him a little space. Some people don't like people in our space. But tell your neighbor, neighbor, it's not going to be okay. It's already okay. Tell him, as a matter of fact, it's better than okay. Tell them it is what God says it is. And tell them, I'm going to release my faith for you. We're not going to wait till this battle you're going through is over. We're going to praise God right now that things have already worked out in your favor. In Jesus' name. All right, y'all sit down. I'm in a sermon series called "You Will No Judgment Zone. And I'm going to ask that you guys, thank you, Jesus, that you guys do something. We have two services here, and there's several hundred people that come here every weekend. And immediately following service, we're going to go over to Barfield Park, and we're going to have our church picnic. It's an opportunity for you guys to connect with each other. It's one thing to connect with God, but God also wants us to connect with people. And if you are, just how many be honest and say you are an introvert in here? Yeah, I am a classic introvert, so I meet strangers every day. I'm married to somebody who don't. I'd be like, what do y'all be talking about? I want everybody to come out. There are a million excuses in your head. I can eat at home. You can. I don't need people. You really don't. But it's better when you have people. I'm serious. I'll tell myself all the time. But come on over and enjoy it. It's going to be a tremendous time. They got spades with no money being played, no gambling. They got dominoes. They got cornhole. We got fish, beans, greens, tomatoes, everything. Just come over and you're going to enjoy it. Have a good time. Amen? All right, so second week of our series, Judgment Free Zone, and the title of the sermon today is You Will Eventually Get It. If you have parents, particularly parents of teenage kids in here, lift your hands. I don't care if your kids are 60. Declare this over their life. They will eventually get it. Oh, they ain't believe you in here. Tell them they will eventually get it. Come on, say they're going to eventually get it. Come on, say they're going to eventually get it. If you're married in here, lift your hands. Say this. I'm going to get it. And because I get it, they going to get it. And we going to get it together. Find your spouse and say, don't stop, get it. If you're single, lift your hands. I'm serious about it. If you're single, lift your hands. Say, they going to get it. I don't know where he is. I don't know where she is, but they going to get it. They're going to show up in the name of Jesus. I don't care where they are right now. They're going to wake up and get saved. They're going to wake up and figure out, I need to be married. They're going to get it in the name of Jesus. Appreciate you guys handling that. Has anybody ever been through a season in your life where you had to get it? It just didn't click. I got a scholarship out of high school to go to University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, and they paid for all of my tuition. And I didn't have, but my parents scrapped up money to for me to go and get a scholarship and take care of a thing. But guess what? After that first semester, I lost that scholarship. I remember sitting in a room just like you guys, a bunch of us that got the scholarship, and they told us what was going to happen. And you weren't talking to me. I ain't never had a problem keeping above a 3.0. What is that? Hadn't seen that in forever. At the end of my first year of college, I had a 2.7. And the same man that told me what was going to happen, I had to beg him to give me my scholarship back, and he did not give it to me. So I had 3 years of student loans because I didn't get it. The Lord blessed me when I was in graduate school, and I got a scholarship that paid for everything. Somebody say everything. Well, guess what happened? Y'all, after the first semester, and that was before the electronic grades came out, I beat the grades to the mailbox, so my parents never saw them. And you had to have a 3.0 to keep my scholarship and to stay in school. And I had like a 2.3, something like that. I had a B, C, and a D running around. And I lost it again. And I heard a message of faith. And I said, God, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I believe you, by the time I get back to school this second semester, my scholarship is going to be there. And I was in faith. I would believe in God. I went up to the front of the bursar's office. I went in line, and I gave him my name. And I was ready to sign. God, I believe God, he's going to get my scholarship back. And they said, Mr. Scales, how are you going to pay for your school? I said, scholarship. They said, where? They sent me to the place to get a student loan because I was too embarrassed to call my parents and tell them what happened. You can figure out a whole lot of stuff when you're in trouble. I figured out how to fill out a FAFSA. I figured out how to take care of all that stuff my mama didn't been doing. I figured out how to do it to hide it. And I went through a couple of semesters. I told you guys about it before. I'd had a 4.0 a couple of semesters in a row just to stay in the graduate program. I remember sitting in front of my advisor, and she said, "Are you sure grad school is for you?" I said, "No, I got this. I had a bad semester." She said, "Do you know how many people I talk to that say the same thing that you're saying?" And I said, "Watch this. When I come back, I'm going to have this." I did it a couple semesters in a row. I had a 4.0. That was some of the toughest time of my life. How many know God will send you stuff to confirm it? I went with my pastor to Miami, and God gives people a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. And the pastor of that church walked by me, and she was praying for me. We were outside. And she said, "That thing that you've been waiting for, that you've been working for, God said you're going to get it back." I fell out in them folks' bushes. I ain't playing. I had scratches. I ain't kidding about that. I've been working for this. 2 weeks before school started, Dr. Deborah Arfkin, if you are streaming, you probably not, but somebody found her. She called me and said, "Jason, we got your scholarship back. They pay for my school. They pay for, they gave me a stipend every month." But I didn't get it. I went and got a student loan on top of my scholarship because I got used to that refund check. I'm seeing a refund check in the middle right here. Some of y'all feel me. So I am paying back student loans now, not because I have to, but because of I chose to. But here's what I told God the other day. I was praying, and I said, "God, if you restored it before, do it again." I don't know how you're going to do it. Now, some of us pray prayers, "God, wipe the computer out so they forget it." Now, if somebody owe you money, you want them to pay you? Send it in so we can pay it off in the name of Jesus. But something in me got it. Here's what I want to preach today. You eventually going to get it, but I want some of you to testify with me. Anybody in here been a handful, but you glad God never took his hands off you? God, I know I've been a handful, but thank you for never taking your hands off of me. Some of y'all real quiet, but you know, you tell the PG version of your testimony, but there's another version that God knows. I've been a handful, but you never took your hands off of me. Well, today I want to tell you why. I want to tell you why God never took his hands off of you. Because God wants you to get it. In your spiritual walk, God wants you to get it. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says this. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by this faith to this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Don't worry about it. I'm going to make it make sense to you. There are a couple things I want you to get from this scripture that God wants you to get it. Number one, you are not at war with God. You are not at war with God. You are at a time of peace with God. You are at war with the enemy. You are at war with Satan. But Satan wants to make you feel like that God is the one behind all the stuff that you're going through. God is the reason why your life is not falling. And if you just surrender to God, your life is going to fall in line. And you get saved and get up here and get to crying and nothing changes. And Satan will make, "What more do I need to do, God?" It's not God you're at war with. It's the enemy messing with your mind. The enemy wants you to believe there are some things in your life that have a level of authority over you that do not. There's some things that the enemy wants to use to destroy you that don't have power. When Isaiah was real small, he used to always have these little cars, guns, toys, stuff everywhere. And he had this little police car. And I remember one time I dropped him off at daycare, and I was going back to Cool Springs to work. Well, I took the back roads to work, and all of a sudden I hit this bump, but I kept seeing these blue sirens coming out of my back seat, and I kept hearing the sirens. I looked out of my rearview mirror, and I looked to the side, and I said, "I don't see no cops," but I kept hearing the noise, and I kept seeing the blue lights. So I did what every normal citizen did. I took some more back roads. I ain't getting no ticket today. I took some more back roads, and I kept hearing the siren, and I kept seeing the lights. And I was like, "Where is this cop at?" Finally, I felt something in my heart just say, "It's the Holy Spirit, look in the back seat." I looked in the back seat and looked down as Isaiah's little car, them lights just moving. You know what what our life looks like? Many of us are given authority to things in our life that really have no authority over us. You're running from stuff that's actually not chasing you. Satan is telling you your past is going to catch up with you. He's telling you all these things are going to happen, and you're creating and fighting a war that's not even happening. You're not at war with God. And the next thing is this. You have access to the grace of God, says it in the scripture. God gives you access. Do you know what grace is? Grace is not God winking at your sin. It's not God saying, "Boy, you messed up that time, Jason." No, he's saying, "You messed up, but here's another chance and the power to get it right." He said, not only is it, all right, this the chance to get it right, but I'm going to give you the power to get that thing right in the name of Jesus. Grace is also this. It's access to the resources of God. Because of certain things Barbara does on MTSU campus, they give us these all-access passes, Jarek. So when we come see your guys' game, we're sitting in what they call the stadium club. And it kind of spoils you sitting in there. They got food that you can eat as much as you want. I'm like Forrest Gump in there with that little Dr. Pepper machine. I drink a whole bunch of them. When I get tired of watching the game, I come sit in the seats. I cross my legs. Now, I don't get tired of watching. You know what I'm saying? At halftime, I watch other games there. I can see whatever's going on. I can look out the window and see them playing. And it gives me privilege. But it done made me a little bougie, y'all. We were going to the game. Somebody asked me if I want to go to the game the other day. And I said, no, I ain't got my access pass. It's hard to experience it without having this. Favor works the same way in your life. It puts you in a place that you never imagined. Some of y'all looking at me, but you know some of the stuff God has done in your life. You did not deserve it. There's some things that God has blessed you with, and you say, God, if it had not been for you who was on my side. It's not you. It's not because you've been that smart. It's not because you've been that good. It's because favor is on your life. So I got access to the favor of God, and then it says we rejoice in the hope of glory. What hope do we have? Number one, I'm not at war with God. You know what? He won that war through Jesus, and he didn't cast you off when he won it. He pulled you in. So he won it, so I have hope, and then I have access, and that's how I can get it in the name of Jesus. But there's a process for you to get it. You got access to get it. Now, God said, this is how you're going to get it. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, it's on the screen. If you can find it on your Bible, or if you got a hard copy, follow along with me. And it says this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work to patience, patience experience, and experience hope, and hope that make it not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So it says this, we glory in tribulation, meaning this, we live confident under pressure. We don't fake sickness under pressure. We don't check out under pressure. We don't fight under pressure. We stand flat-footed and say, God, what are you going to do through me in this situation? Let me walk you through the scripture real quick. Tribulation is pressure. It's any level of pressure you go through in your life. And then it works patience, not your patience, the patience of God. How many of you like me, you have very little patience? I have very little patience. And when people text me and said, I need to talk to you later tonight. No, I don't have time to tonight. What is it now? You're going to ruin my whole day thinking about what you want to talk about. My patience is thin. But the patience of God is long. It's wide. Do you know what patience really means? Staying there. I could run, but I'm going to stay there. It said, tribulation works patience. I stay there because of the grace of God. And then experience. Experience is the process of proving things. And then that works hope that maketh not ashamed. Let me walk you through this process. Tribulation is pressure. Pressure is Satan's plan to get you to quit. But it's also God's way of revealing to me who he is. In a moment of pressure, I can do two things. I can find a legit reason to quit. Or I can find a way of revealing this. God revealing himself to me. In the Bible, you'll hear God referring to God as Jehovah. The word Jehovah means one who reveals himself. So he reveals himself as Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He reveals himself as Jehovah Rapha, my healer. But let me bring it down your lane. When I was sitting here just a few minutes ago before service, the Lord reminded me of this conversation that I had with a fella. I could share this because y'all have no idea who he is. But he introduced me to the word loud. Anybody know what I mean by the word loud? Yeah, y'all. He said, man, he said, you smoke? I said, no, I don't smoke. He said, man, you gotta try this loud. He said, it's natural, it's from the earth. I said, man, I'm not smoking. I said, man, how you found it loud? Crazy. He said, I got some bad weed, and I had to go find some more, and I discovered this. So I said, when you found bad weed, you didn't quit smoking. He said, no, I went and found something better. So I said, when Satan fights you, you quit. When life gets tough, you quit your children. When life gets tough, you quit a job. But because you got bad weed, you went and found loud. I said, let's flip this. When you get something bad in life, you tell the enemy you meant it for evil. But God turned it for good. Let's live loud for God because God reveals himself. Y'all looking at me strange. You know what I found out about loud? It's not something that's said. It's something it's how it smells. It kind of, and the power of God is the same way. I'm saying this for a reason. when you really get into God under pressure and you really start praying, because some of us didn't know how to pray until we got under pressure. And under pressure, you figured out, God, I don't like to pray, but you figured out this is the only thing that works. And God gets real loud in your life under pressure. It's sometimes it's not anything you hear. It's something that you sense. It's something that God sends people in your life. Somebody say, God, get loud in my life. Somebody say, God, get loud in my life. Yeah, I ain't never going to forget that, right? So tribulation or pressure, it works patience. Patience is this: God will never leave me. God wants me to get it. Do I have any parents in here? I want to pray for you now. That you have kids, little ones. You love them, but they can work your nerves. And he said, if I hear mama one more time, if you ask for one more dollar, if you ask for one more thing, it works your nerves. If I hear granny, if I hear big mama, I hear it one more time. It works your nerves. But God told me this. He said, Jason, tell my people. And he said, I want you to know this. You never work my nerves. He said, you work my patience. And he said, I want to be patient with you. Patience is God staying there. Patience is I don't have enough, but it's God showing up in my life through the fruit of the Spirit. If you're like me, you pray, God, if you just get me out of this. Anybody pray that prayer? God said, never pray that prayer again, because you're probably going to be back there. He said, the next time you come, just say, God, I need your help, because I knew you needed it before you knew you needed it. God said, I'm a very present help in the time of storm. He said, you'll never work my nerves. I want you to work my patience. He said, I want to stay there. Do you know why God is patient with us? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He said, the Lord is not slow concerning his promise. Some of you think God's taking a long time, but he's not. He said, as some count slowness. He said, but he's patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. I don't know if you've ever had an experience with God, but I've been riding down the road, and I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, repent. So, oh, gee, I know this. I'd raised up in church. I know what it means when they say repent. Got ready to cry, fall out. Jesus, I'm horrible. You confess every sin you've done since the third grade. You start asking. No, I'm serious. When you hear the Spirit of the Lord say repent, and he said, Jason, repent is not a negative word. It's actually a word of hope. When most of us hear repent, you hear, God, I'm horrible. God, I'm wretched. And that's not the point right there, because you probably are. But when you're doing that, you're beating yourself down. Most of us are honest, but we don't repent. I did it. That's not enough. When you beat yourself down, it's like an unsafe living condition, and you live in condition. You live in a bad, horrible condition, and nothing can be done there. The word repentance is this. Let's look at the word repent. The word R-E means again. The word pent, P-E-N-T, means above. You remember the Jeffersons? We're moving on up to the east side, to a deluxe apartment. Where was it at? Was it in the basement? That word pent is where you get penthouse. It means the top of the place. So when God says repent, he means come up again. You've been there before. You took yourself down. Now come up again. God is patient because he's waiting on your come up. He's not trying to destroy your life. He's trying to make it better. If you would just say yes. Tribulation works God's patience, which then works experience. Let's talk about experience for a moment, because experience is different for everyone. Here's what I've learned about leading and preaching, particularly this Bible. You can't say the same word is for all of us, but it means something. It has a different application to all of us, because you have a weakness that I don't have. There are certain things that don't bother you that bother me. Experience comes in various shapes, forms, and fashions, but it's where it gets real. It's where it clicks for us. It doesn't click for us the same way. Some of you learn different ways. Some of you can learn, you can watch somebody say, I don't want to do that. Some of you people can tell you whatever they want to tell you, but you're going to find out for yourself. You are an experiential learner. You get bored in training at work. Just let me try it. I'll mess my way up, but just correct me. But I need to, anybody like that? I need to figure it out on my own. That's how you get it. In this stage right here, God lets you experience things so that you know, so that it clicks and you get it. I'm going to give you some Bible ways that God lets experience. Tribulation, pressure works God's patience, which works an experience for you in the middle of what you're going through. Here's some of the ways we get it. Number one, someone pulls a U on you. and not in a good way. You ever had somebody do something that you normally do, but it hit different when it came from somebody else? Luke 6:31 says, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. But something happens when the inverse of that scripture, when you feel the negative side of your behavior coming through somebody else. Are y'all looking at me strange? Some of you know when you get upset, you don't text and call nobody back. And then all of a sudden you need somebody and you're trying to text and call them and you see them post 2 seconds after you sent them a text. And you're saying the same phone you posting with is the same phone I know you got my text with. It's different when somebody pull a U on you. You mean I acted like that? Yes, you act like that now. When you see it in somebody else, particularly when you have kids, and you see your kid be as stubborn as you are, and you're like, Jesus. You call your parents and apologize and repent. That's a way you get it. Not to feel bad about yourself, but to say, hey, I need to change that inside of me. But you know what? You're the best one to change it. Because you know what it took for you to get to that. Certain things I see in Isaiah that I am working on in me. Barbara was getting on me the other day. Any husbands got wives that like the Holy Spirit? They work on you? I was working on some stuff in Isaiah, and she said, you're doing the same thing. I said, I know, but I don't want him to take 43 years to figure it out. I want him to figure it out now. You're the best one to work on that with somebody else. The next thing is this. Another way we get it is training. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Let's take out gender. Just train up a person. In every immature state of your life, immature is not a bad thing. It just means not developed. Whether it be business, whether it be life, whether it be money, anything, God always sends somebody by to train you. And they train you in the way you should go. Here's the challenge. I believe that everything we speak should be true. But I believe that everything true cannot be spoken by everyone. I have, if Barbara and I are having challenges and I come get counsel, it's not within your authority to come jump down her throat and check her. There's only some things that can come from me because they're going to respond differently. If I have children and I say, hey, Lord, Isaiah is driving us crazy. Go correct somebody's kid that ain't yours. And see what happens. There's some things you don't have the authority to do. Everything true should be spoken, but not every truth can be spoken by everyone. Notice what it said in Scripture. Train up a child in the way he should go. You cannot train until you know the way a person should go. You know that way when you have authority. When you have authority in somebody's life, you know the challenge with many of us? We have been damaged because we took advice from people who didn't know the way we should go. They say stuff like, if I was you, I would. There is the challenge. You are not me, and my path is not yours. You need somebody to say, God, give me wisdom on what they should do. It may be different than how I proceed, but God, tell me what they should do in this situation. That's how you get it, because God never wants you to be a clone of somebody else. Another way you get it is discipline. Proverbs 13:24 says, he who withholds the rod of discipline hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines and trains him diligently and appropriately with wisdom. Do you know one of the best things my mom has ever told me? And y'all see my mom walking around here nice now, and she looks real nice. But my mom, y'all ever seen that movie Pootie Tang where that belt come out of nowhere? My mom was a whipping machine. And one of the best words she ever said to me was not, I love you. Now, Jason, I got your back. She said, I am so angry right now. She said, if I whipped you, I would hurt you, so I'm not going to whip you tonight. I said, thank you. Thank you. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Because she said, in this moment, my anger would cause me to hurt you. Discipline is not about the anger of the person who is correcting the behavior. It is about the behavior being corrected. Because a lot of us have corrected stuff because we're upset. God never corrects us because he's upset with us. His anger is for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Whenever you are angry, it is very hard to discipline because you will say stuff you wish you could take back. It'll come out in a way that it has no business coming out. So it's good. You got to address it, but you got to calm yourself first, because when you're correcting a behavior, it's not about how you feel. It's about this. I loved when my dad told me this. He said, Jason, when I discipline and when you discipline, you don't do it because you're angry. You do it because you want to correct the behavior. Because he said, if I didn't love you, he said, I wouldn't say anything to you. But when you love somebody, I have to address this, but because you can be better. And that is a way that we get it. Can I tell you something about many of us are afraid of the consequences of God? And consequences are tough. But if you got kids, when you whip them, you ain't trying to break the leg. If you do, spank or whatever. Or if you put them in timeout, you ain't going to leave them there for 3 days. They ain't going to sit there and just be emaciating and they ain't eating. Isaiah, bring me your joysticks from your game. You know what? When he corrects the behavior, he gets it back. Because I didn't buy them to sit in my room. I bought them for him to play with. When it clicks in your heart, God said, here, you can have it back. When it makes sense to you, here, you can walk in authority now. I can trust you now. Discipline is not about anger. It's about correcting a behavior. The last thing, and I'm through, is this. You get it by revelations. Revelation. Ephesians 1:17 on the screen says this. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. God wants you to get it. Some of us get it through failure. You hit rock bottom. Stuff fell apart. You got me. I got you, God. Some of us, you don't remember half the stuff you learned in school. But you remember the stuff you failed. And you went back and you learned the lesson, but you failed the test. Here's the thing about God. He'll pass you even if you fail the test, as long as you learn the lesson. God's all about you getting it. Some of us learn through success. Rip, can you come? Me and Isaiah, I was teaching him how to catch when I wanted him to play basketball. And we were sitting in the driveway. And I said, Isaiah, I'm going to teach you before you start shooting. I'm getting down because this is the level he was at. I said, Isaiah, before you start shooting, you got to learn how to catch the ball. All right? So I threw it to him. I said, you put your hands up and you watch it in your hands. Rip, throw it to me. Here's what happened. I said, Isaiah, watch it in your hands. He got ready to quit. Barbara, that's my baby. Bring my baby in this house. You ain't get my baby hurt like that. He's all right, Barbara. I'm trying to teach him how to catch. Got my baby. I'll poke his eye out. He gonna never want to play again because you got him out here doing this. I said, Isaiah, here's the turning point. If you catch the ball, it won't hit you in the face. Huh. Here versus here. Here's what happened. He got tired of getting hit in the face. So revelation hit his soul and his hands start working. At some point, some of us in this room are going to get tired of life busting us in the face. And you're going to say, I'm going to catch whatever comes my way through revelation. And as a result, you're going to have a confident expectation that when I go through whatever God is doing in my life, that pressure is going to work the patience of God, which is going to give me an incredible experience. It may not feel good to me, but it's going to feel good for me. And at the end of the day, I got a confident expectation that everything is going to be all right. Stand to your feet all over the building. Bow your head and close your eyes. If you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior and you want to get that part today, God will never leave you. Matter of fact, he's the one that's been pursuing you, saying, I want a relationship with you. I want to forgive you. I want to wash you and cleanse you of all your sin. Every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, God, I want to get it. I want to be saved today. I want to give my heart back to you. If that's you in here today, just lift your hands up wherever you are and lead you to the Lord. It's good. I see your hand. Repeat after me. Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I acknowledge I have sinned. I've done things not pleasing in your sight. I ask that you forgive me right now of all of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I confess Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I'm saved in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that as we go through, that we glory in our tribulation. Know that it works patience, your patience, the fruit of the Spirit is going to show up in our lives because you want to stay and not leave. And it's going to create an experience. We're going to get it. It's going to make sense. And as a result, I got hope, not empty hope, but a confident expectation that you're working on my behalf. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.